Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 38 of season 4 of the award-winning Press X to Start podcast. Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigga Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of be watching niggas, a.k.a. and I just heard this from a little white girl, so apparently it's true. Jason Derulo.
Wait, you got called Jason Derulo?
Yep.
Isn't Jason Derulo in that that movie with Ethan Hawke, or like the Showtime miniseries
about? I don't know, but I know he was in Cats, and he was really mad about his dick not being on his cat.
So this little white girl wore glasses?
No, but
Hey, you know what? A compliment's a compliment.
Exactly. Hey, he's not a bad-looking dude, so
yeah,
I'll take it.
Who was the dude that was in Hamilton? Was Jason Derulo in Hamilton?
No, David Diggs.
Sure. I'll take it.
But anyways, yeah, Marcus Ellison.
I am DJ, a.k.a. not David Diggs, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. Ad Astra, because that last word, I don't ever know what the fuck they're saying.
I don't think that's a real word.
Excuse me. It's Latin.
Okay.
Look it up, Marcus.
Okay.
Get educated. AKA, did you know?
What?
Vulture bees.
What?
Do y'all know about vulture bees?
What the heck is Walter bee?
No, vulture bees.
Vulture bees?
Vulture bees. No?
Oh, no.
These motherfuckers, much like maggots, I'm reading this from Wikipedia. Vulture bees, much like maggots, usually enter the carcasses through the eyes of dead things, where they then root around inside, gathering meat suitable for their needs, thus eating dead meat from dead things, and they take the dead meat that they eat, and they make honey from that. This is a living type of bee that I just found out about today. It completely changed my whole worldview. I did not know these things existed.
You scared me for a second because I thought that a vulture bee was some sort of new mutated, more evil form of a murder hornet, and I got very scared about whatever 2020 was going to throw at us for the rest of the year.
Huh. Well, listen to this one line, because I think this is the real beauty in how these vulture bees work. Vulture bees what is it called? The spit?
Mucus?
No. I see the word, but like my mind is not allowing me to salivate. Salivate.
Yeah,
bam,
salivate.
Got it. Like I said, vulture bees salivate on the rotting flesh and then consume it, storing the flesh in their special stomach compartment. When it returns to the hive, this meat is vomited and is processed by the worker bees, and they turn that into honey. So never again. I feel like we need to convert our efforts to get rid of this vulture bee, because I don't understand. I don't see how this is contributing to anything good.
I mean, they're just making honey. What's the problem here?
I mean,
would you still eat it? I mean, like, if someone said this is vulture bee honey or this is like regular American honeybee, I don't know. Would you be biased?
I'm glad you asked that question, because apparently no one has ever tried the honey before, and some people think that it actually might be poisonous, although that's not been confirmed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised. Well, not been confirmed. You have zoologists out there.
I mean, I don't really think people. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure someone has had it, because people eat everything all the time.
Anyway, who was that just talking?
Your boy Jordan, aka JXpot, and it is sunshine and lollipops over here in Microsoft land. We are enjoying it.
Y'all are thriving.
Enjoying it.
You guys are having a banner end of the year.
The recession is over, and now it is just good times ahead for us, man. The ebb and flows of the industry.
Yeah, you never know. By 2021, this might be a Microsoft podcast.
Yep.
I'm lying. I'm never getting a Microsoft.
you can get Game Pass on your phone.
You can get Game Pass on the PlayStation 5.
Sony is now a subsidiary of Microsoft. Don't say nothing can't happen.
That's true. But Now that we're all introduced, we're going to get into what we've been playing, and we're going to start off with Jordan. What you been playing?
I've been digging deeper into the Game Pass and all of its new additions. Actually, there has been some new additions this month, because Game Pass is also serving as a Xbox Games for Gold type service too.
Oh, interesting.
They have new releases that give you access and you're able to download. But the big one and pretty celebratory is Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal is one of the higher rated games of this year, and one of the higher rated first person shooters of the console generation. As you may know, it came out back in March. I was a fool for buying it then, because I have not played it at all. I mean, I played it. I got like a good 5 hours in. I was having a blast, but then it was like, you kind of put a game down. It's like, now I got to go back. I have to restart it, because I'm at a point to which I'm just getting washed by the AI. Like, you have to play it from beginning to end. And it's actually a very long game, too, compared to the first one. So that's
right.
That's exciting. But I'll get back into it when I get my Xbox Series X, or have to visit one of the fulfillment centers in case they forgot who gave a pre-order. But we'll just make sure to keep an eye on your local news. You never know what story you might see. Game Pass has been great. I was more aware of the Yakuza series that was introduced to it over the summer. I was about to get into those, but also noticed that Outer Worlds was on it. And that game's been on for longer than Yakuza series. That and My Friend Pedro. And I forgot the name of like the Daytona USA knockoff, like Slipstream or something like that.
Yeah,
I played that too. But I'm having a blast with Outer Worlds, because I am just finishing up the first Mass Effect, which is available through Game Pass. And I played Mass Effect hundreds of hours back in high school when it was first out for me. But Outer Worlds is basically, if you're a Rick and Morty fan, you're going to love this game's dialogue and its world building. As an example, basically this universe of, you know, humans venturing out into the stars to conquer new worlds is a corporate hellscape. People are owned. People are bartering. One interaction was like, those marauders are soulless, evil, unemployed monsters. I'm like, what? Unemployed.
Unemployed?
All right, I'm sorry, so what? That's the theme.
One of these things is not like the other.
Right. And then I ran into the spacer who also worked for this corporation, and he said, you know, like, if you're going to kill me, you have to kill me with like this special gun. You know, it has to be this gun, because if you don't kill me with this gun, my family's not going to get life insurance. You know, I have to die from this specific weapon. And, my spaceship has anxiety issues. Though I killed their captain by accident, tried to kill me, but was very sorry about it because they failed. They tried to eject me through the airlock, not knowing that we were in atmosphere on the ground, not moving. And the ship had a very close relationship with the captain. And if you just told them that you were Captain Hawthorne, it's at ease and will listen to you. She doesn't care. As long as it's in quotations, Captain Hawthorne talking to her, she's going to follow commands. So you have to adopt that that relationship.
That's amazing.
There. But it's Obsidian, Fallout in space, mix of Borderlands comedy, but way better. So I'm about a few missions in, and it's a pretty fun experience so far. So that's what I've been playing.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the second person on this podcast who was actually saying Outer Worlds' highest praises, first being Cam last year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. So do you plan on beating it, or are you just going to kind of play it?
Dude, there's so many games, dog. I mean, Game Pass Ultimate was a Pandora's box for me. Like, I was foolish for thinking that I'm going to fully utilize it. I mean, I am. I beat that carry-on game last week. It was mostly an eight-hour experience. But, more substantive games that come out, like games with more content, like Outer Worlds, that I start to open up, I'm only setting myself up for disaster in terms of like the amount of content that's going to be available to me, especially with the possibility of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, though I will probably purchase that regardless, maybe on Game Pass Ultimate. Like, that's hundreds upon hundreds of hours of just stuff Rage 2, I gotta go back and beat that, and Doom Eternal. Like, there's too much stuff, man. Too much.
And you still have Watch Dogs Legion and Cyberpunk to think about in the next coming months, too.
I'm pretty sure that's like over 400 hours of bullshit I have to muddle my way through. Because Assassin's Creed Odyssey was 200 hours for me. Like, completing it with all the DLC was 200 hours. So.
Sheesh. Well, actually, I can't even, like, act like I haven't put that amount of time in anything because Persona 5 Royal.
you know what they're saying? Microsoft is eyeing Japanese companies.
I swear to God, if they take Atlas, I swear to God.
Atlas is owned by Sega, or yeah. Sega owns Atlas, right? Or the Atlas owns Sega.
Yo. No, Sega owns Atlas, I believe.
Yeah.
Or in a partnership with Sega.
You know how many Sega Dreamcast games are on Microsoft Marketplace? All of them. Basically all of them. Sonic Adventure 1, 2, Crazy Taxi 1, 2, Soul Calibur. All the greatest hits of Sega has been on Marketplace since Xbox 360. There's a relationship there.
I'll be like Cuba Gooding Jr. in Boys in the Hood, swinging at the air. If I can't play Persona 6 on my Sony PlayStation.
Microsoft's going hard. They want to have at least one Japanese company. At least one.
Yeah.
Well, pick another one.
Sony.
Take Square Enix for all I care.
Hey, you know, Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, and 3 is on Game Pass.
They can have them. I don't care.
Wow, really?
Yeah, all of them are just there. Not going to play them, though, because they're garbage.
Yeah, no, that's a rabbit hole you don't want any part of.
Play 1 and 2, and then abandon ship.
I'll be cosplaying in a parking lot in no time, in a library parking lot in no time. Come on, guys. Let's go to the Denny's. All right, that's all I got.
All right. Well, now it's time to talk about the little game that really could.
Boy, let me tell you.
Genshin Impact. And so for the rest of
Wait, Marcus.
Hmm?
When you say Genshin Impact, you have to say Genshin motherfucking Impact, because this has made a motherfucking impact.
Okay.
You
know what?
You can continue.
I'm not even going to take that away from you, because you're absolutely right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
So for the rest of what we've been playing, it's going to be DJ and I kind of doing a bit of a review in progress for this game. Because that has really been all that we've been playing for the last week or so.
So one little note that I want to say, much like Trump, I have been corrupted by this game. So
Trump plays Genshin Impact?
No, but Trump loves corruption.
Oh, he does. And collusion.
Yes, yes.
And coronavirus.
It's like peanut butter with jelly. You got to have both.
But no, yeah, I'm right there with you, because I remember seeing the trailer for the game and being immediately drawn into the art style.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it looked like a Tales game. And before I kind of like started playing more American or Western games, I grew up on mostly JRPGs. And one of those JRPG franchises that I used to frequent were the Tales games.
Right.
And so I put a lot of hours into the Tales games, but I haven't played a Tales game since maybe Symphonia, I think. And so when I looked at this game, I was like, oh, this looks like a Tales game. And it made me nostalgic. But then I found out it was a free-to-play open world game, and I was like, I don't know, I guess we'll see. But I decided to give this a try, and it's one of the best decisions I've made this year.
Yep. Man, like, this game hits with me on such a perfect level that it's so weird. Like, the aesthetics of this game is exactly what I wanted in a open world environment. Like, the art direction is beautiful. The character models are so detailed, and they all have their own like look and feel to it. And whatever time period this is in, it totally works for me. Like, the color choice and the color usage in this game, I feel like it does Breath of the Wild, but much better.
Mm.
Like, I felt like Breath of the Wild was for, you know, I played that for maybe like 6 or 7 hours, and I just dropped because it ended up just being kind of a boring affair with exploration really amounting to nothing. And they reinforce the fact because when you get the last Korok seeds, the 99 or 999 Korok seeds, whatever bullshit number they put, you just get golden poop. And it's like, they're basically like, fuck you. And you're like, oh, cool, cool. Like, oh man, this game, for me, the combat feels great. Exploring is so much fun. Just being in that world is so much fun, to the point where it's kind of pulling me away from Gundam, guys.
My God.
It's, yeah.
That's a phrase that I never thought I would hear.
I didn't think I was going to hear that either. And wow. Like today, like I went from Genshin to Gundam because I had to do their daily before the before they reset. And I'm playing and I'm just like, I really want to just play Genshin right now. And I, so real quick, the dailies for Gundam, you have to complete 3 dailies, you get 3 tokens. When you get 30 tokens, you can enter the gacha system to whatever. I got 2 of the 3 and I was like, I'm not doing this. No. So I literally just didn't complete my dailies for today for Gundam. And like after this cast, I most certainly plan on going to play Genshin because that game is so great.
It's like an RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a open world RPG.
Yeah.
It's a game that does have a mainline story, mm-hmm. or at least the beginnings of one.
Mm-hmm.
But it encourages exploration, and it encourages exploration probably better than a solid amount of open world games to me.
Yes, absolutely.
The amount of scope and freedom that this game has, bruh, for a free-to-play game is insane.
Bruh. Yeah, like literally today, for the amount of time I've been playing, I've just been playing in the area that's around, what's the name of the first town? Monstead. Monstead, yeah. And then the chef girl.
Xiling.
Xiling, yeah.
Xiling, yeah.
When I was doing her quest, and that took me over to near where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first time I go up a cliff and I see like the fucking landscape, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, because I don't know anything about this game and I went completely blind, like it blew my mind. It was like, oh, there's so much more to explore in this game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, this is awesome.
I was shocked because I've put in now, I'd say, over 10 hours into the game.
Yeah.
And that's probably lowballing it to a solid degree.
Yeah, I'm way more than 10 out of that.
I've only run into a barrier wall once.
Yo, the first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck is that? And like, I didn't realize it was a barrier wall. I was like, oh, okay.
But the rest of the time that I've been in the open world of this game, I have never once run into a barrier.
Yeah.
And
oh, man.
That's crazy. And also, I want to praise this game for the amount it gives you. Like, it is extremely generous. Like, it feels like the creators of this game are really thankful to you for playing it because they give you so much stuff, like, out the gate.
Yeah, like, just given the rundown, this is a free-to-play game. Yes, it has a gacha system, but apparently its roots are in mobile. Like, this was a mobile game that they built for the consoles or whatever. I don't really know the story behind that too much because I didn't really know too much about this game to begin with. But the game, it has a pretty fleshed out single player story. You end up getting to a point where you can do dailies. There is like fully fleshed out voice acting and it's good. And like, if we were playing Destiny, we would have beaten the story campaign by now. And we'd have been in the quote unquote end game. But like, I've been watching videos on this and the way that they flush out the end game and the way that the world kind of morphs once you get like higher in level is like really a good idea. They do the same world tier like the Outriders do, where like once you get to a higher level, then it will put you to a higher world tier.
Mm-hmm.
And you will fight, you know, stronger monsters in that higher world tier. But like, it's one of those things where I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
And like, when you play the game, as far as I know, you get a total of 4 characters, including the main character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know what happens after, like, you actually beat the single campaign if you get the other, like, if you get Jean and the other...
Yeah, I'm not sure in terms of through pure story which characters you get, but because of, like, the wish system and everything, you have access to, first off, a couple of characters that I don't even think you meet in the story, then you can get Jean... this other dude that you see in a cutscene earlier on, the bar, like there's mm-hmm. characters that you can get through the wish system if you kind of unlock them through rolling that dice. But honestly, I have so much complimentary to say about the game that I do want to bring up a couple of things that I am not too keen on about it.
Yeah.
One, I am not a fan of the stamina system.
Yeah, it's I think that was something that they borrowed from Breath of the Wild that I don't necessarily think they should have taken.
Yeah, it's like in some cases, I'm fine with, like, let's say the aspect of having a stamina meter for you to climb things or stuff like that. I'm mm-hmm. fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the aspect of gliding taking away stamina makes no sense to me. Yeah. And then I feel like in open world games at this point, if you don't have access to a mount, then you shouldn't have a stamina meter for running. I just don't think that that's something that you should have.
I totally agree. Yeah. By the way, there's 23 playable characters.
Okay. I knew there was a good amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's the discernible differences between the 22 characters? Like, do they have different moves or different stories?
They are all completely different people.
Well, I mean, like, in terms of, like, moves, like some more ranged?
Yeah, they have different weapons. They mm-hmm. have, not everybody has different weapons. Some of them are archers. Some of them are, you know, dragoons. Some of them are swordsmen, all that. But then there are bards. And then they each have different elemental properties. Some of them are electric. Some of them are wind-based. Yeah. Some of them are rock or earth-based. So, like, they have differences outside of aesthetics.
Does a character's class limit your ability to use certain weapons? Are you married to that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they work in the class type of, like, RPG, where, like, your weapons are bow. You can have a magic book or what they call a catalyst, which is like a magic artifact,
like an orb or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get, like, a claymore. You can get a bow. You can get a pole arm. I said claymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there might be one other weapon, or if not. But then you also, each character also uses a particular element in the game. And, like, oh, man, oh, jeez, I'm loving this game. So, like, much like Anthem, where they had this, actually, no, let me not say that. Much like Breath of the Wild, where they had, like, a physics system in the game and certain things will interact with each other and do different things. They kind of play that up in this game as well, where the elements work with each other and they cause different reactions.
Yeah.
So, like, your team consists of four characters, and the main character, they're kind of a blank slate in that while you progress through the story, they have access to different elements, and they're special because they're the only one that can do that. But, like, when you're playing the game, you can combo these elements to do, like, very, very different things and really cool effects.
And because you can quick switch between characters mid-fight, then you can end up inflicting somebody with, like, you know, you can burn somebody and then bring wind into the fold, and, you know, like, you can really mix it up mid-fight, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I think another thing that I am not too keen on with the game is I think that the camera could use some work. Not so much in, like, just the open world, but in the combat, sometimes the camera gets kind of wonky, especially
stuck behind a tree or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That happens and to me, too.
So that can be a little irritating. And there's little bugs here and there that happen. Like, I've fought people and they got stuck in a mountain or like, you know. But, yeah, outside of that, like, honestly, most of my issues with the game are, like, nitpicks at best. Yep. I think, like, everything that I've gotten so far from this game blew my expectations right out the window. I was not expecting to like this game. To make a bigger point on that, this is a game that is right up DJ and Sean's alley. It's not up mine.
Yeah.
Yet, yeah. I have put the most time into this game out of the three, And I am already like at the level where you can do co-op. Oh, yeah. That's another thing. That's another nitpick that I have, that I do think that the making the adventure level rank so high for you to be able to do co-op, I think is a little weirdly restrictive. But even then, nitpick, because...
Yeah. Yeah. So my issues, the camera is an issue. I feel like the stamina is also an issue for me. Another issue that I have, and like, again, this game does a good job of what Marvel's Avengers didn't do, which was looking at the current industry and figuring out how do we adapt our games so we are capitalizing on the things that work in this genre of game. And they do a great job when it comes to your inventory, having so much space. Marcus,
you commented on that. So much space.
Like, you don't ever have to worry about that. The one thing that I feel like they didn't get right is picking up items. When you open a chest, the items burst out of the chest and you have to keep tapping square to pick up every individual item. Yeah. And this is a thing where, you know, in a normal context, when you're playing a game that's like, you know, 10, 12 hours, story, whatever, that's fine. But when the loop involves picking up items, it's just like, come on.
And you get access to so many items.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think, I hope at some point they patch this in, but they should implement something that The Last of Us 2 does where you can flip on an auto pickup feature.
Yes.
I think that would definitely help and also make it easier for you to not possibly wear down your square button.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, man, like, I'm loving this game.
Yeah.
And it's something that I could definitely see myself returning to well into 2021 if they keep putting effort and time into it.
Right.
I think that it's definitely one of the dark horses of the year. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Like, this definitely went from, ooh, that game looks cool, to this is definitely going to be on my list for game of the year. Like, it's going to be in top five.
It might be on mine too. I'm not sure, man. Like, there's two big games that I still have to look out for, yeah. But like, I don't know, man.
It's just doing it on such the fact that this is one of those times where you get a free to play game and they answer the whole thing of, man, I wish there was more content. Like,
well, here you go.
Man, I'm just all kinds of shocked and surprised.
Yes. So, yeah, that's all we got for right now, because we're still sort of in the early portion of the game. But, you know, there's still so much to talk about. And, you know, Sean still has things that he has to say about it. But this is a glowing endorsement from Press X for Genshin Impact.
Definitely Press X on it.
Definitely give it a shot because it's free. If you find yourself at least a little bit interested after hearing this, definitely give it a look for sure. But that's what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors, Walter Reed Hospital. Sponsor us, nigga.
Oh, shit.
Hey there. Enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube now at PressX2StartTV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
And we're back. And now it's time for the Quickets.
Number one, this comes from The Verge. The first real look at the Monster Hunter movie is 13 seconds of surprised soldiers with guns. Yeah, so this was, oh man, this was, Marcus was the first to see it, and then he alerted the rest of us that this was a thing that happened. And man, was that a thing that happened, huh?
The original... It kind of threw me off, because I remember like the original screenshots with Mia Djokovic of actually having a, you know, like huge sword.
Yeah, she was dressed in the Monster Hunter attire.
But this was very different. I mean, like, T.I. is in it, and he's like, he's on a machine gun. Yeah. Like, this is very jarring. I don't know if it's the same studio that did the original Resident Evil or not.
I got two things to say. One, Mila Jovovich has been a sign of a bad movie since the 90s. Like, the last movie I've seen her in that I was like, this is actually really great, is Fifth Element. And Fifth Element is legitimately a movie that is so bonkers that it has no choice to be amazing. I'm really still not sure if that's a good movie or not, but I love it all the same.
You're telling me you didn't like Resident Evil 1?
It was fine. And number two, I can literally hear a movie executive looking at that teaser, looking at the outrage that came from the teaser, and being like, they're hunting monsters. What more do you want?
Of course they would use guns. Are you stupid?
Well, here's a question, and maybe this is like a future Press X or Ramble topic, but like, what video game property has translated well into movies? Because there's been so many of them. I mean, don't worry. I love me some, what's that, Oracle of Time, whatever. Cradle of Life. That was a fun one with Gerard Butler. Mm-hmm. As the antagonist, and Daniel Craig as the antagonist in the first one. I mean,
Tomb Raider's done better than most.
Yeah.
That's actually going to be a topic that we can talk about in Press X to Ramble whenever we get around to doing that. But
by the way, we're starting a new thing called Press X to Ramble. Wait for it.
But yeah, so Monster Hunter's a thing that's happening.
Resident Evil and Monster Hunter was snubbed at the Emmys that year. Snubbed.
Okay. All right, buddy. Monster Hunter is actually coming out in December. It was initially pushed back to 2021.
Like everything else.
Then they said, nah, son, this is coming out in theaters in December. Oh, so God. Monster Hunter is going to save cinema, you guys.
You can probably watch it behind the movie theaters in like a box or something. Maybe not in like the actual theater itself, but like in a back parking lot where they throw the popcorn, old stale popcorn at.
Yeah. So again, this is a 13-second teaser for the Monster Hunter series, and I will say they did a great job with animating and designing the monster. I forget the name of the monster, but that is a monster taken from Monster Hunter, and it looks really good. The only issue is that it looks like the frames where it shows the actual human characters could just be cut out and put into a Transformers movie,
any movie,
and it works perfectly. Yeah,
Michael Bay like, had reused shots from the island. And one of the Transformers films. They do it all the time, man.
Not surprised, yeah. But Tony Jaa's in it, too. So, you know, there's going to be some kind of martial arts thing happening. I guess finding a monster.
Kick it really hard. I mean, you saw him unbox, like put the full force of his foot onto an elephant's face?
That was the protector.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was protector, yeah.
That was protector?
Speaking of the protector, number two, this comes from The Verge. Steve and Alex, yes, Steve and Alex from Minecraft are coming to Smash Brothers Ultimate on October 13th. So this was an interesting thing because so you can play as Steve, Alex, Zombie, or Enderman. Also, in the trailer that he showed, or the Sakurai expansive thing that he does where he talks about the characters and stuff, when Kirby swallows one of the Minecraft characters, Kirby becomes like a Minecraft looking character. And it's pretty adorable. But so this is a really cool thing because a lot of people wanted Minecraft Steve to be in Smash because he'd be a really interesting grab. And we know that Microsoft and Nintendo has done a partnership when it comes to putting Minecraft onto the Switch.
They play nice together.
They do. So that's really cool to see. This is behind a fighter pass, so if you got the fighter pass, then enjoy the character. If you don't, then you can buy the fighter pass. It's like $20-something. Number three, this comes push square. Godfall cinematic opening is way more hype than we expected. So, I think, Marcus, you were the first one to peep us to this.
No, that was Sean.
It was Sean? All right, yep. Marcus, you're the first one to peep us to this. So, yeah, this looks, it looks interesting. It's one of those things where, you know, it's fleshing out what your overall goal for the story is. And it, for me, it's, I need these characters to have actual faces and not just helmets, because you're looking at a helmet give like impactful dialogue and it just doesn't do it. It just doesn't do it. So if you're interested in Godfall, then I'd say check this out. But it's definitely not Genshin Impact. Number four. This comes from Engadget. U.S. arrests two members of console hacking group Team Executor. So, an executor is spelled X-E-C-U-T-E-R. The X is emphasized because...
I know executor when I see it.
I mean, if it was executor, it would have an O at the end, not an E.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Or maybe the O is silent. So, what is Team Executor? It's a group that develops and sells devices that allow people to play pirated copies of games on their consoles. And they're also in custody of the FBI, so that's good. So the Department of Justice... So the Department of Justice said Max Laurine, a 48-year-old French national, and Gary Bowser... A 51-year-old man from Canada, were arrested in September. The two face 11 felony charges, each related to their activities through Team Executor.
So this reminds me of those game key websites. Like, you get to get your cheap game keys for like a very low amount. A lot of PC gamers use it and get like...
Oh, like GOG, right?
I haven't heard about that one.
Oh, okay.
But like, there's like a whole universe of websites, at least in the PC world, that allows you to get like brand new games for like $2. Like, cheap game keys. We don't know how they got them. They just know they're super low and it's mad sketch. I've never trusted
Deep Web, man.
Like, I've never trusted those types of websites, even though all these YouTubers keep on flaunting around with them.
I mean, at one point in my life, I got a web key for like the Windows operating system. So it's not all bad, you know. They work. It was a long time ago. You know?
And then the FBI busted into TJ's house.
Jordan takes off his mask. We finally got him.
ladies and gentlemen, we got
him. All right. Number five. This comes from Median. Not the Xbox Series X game, but the website. Microsoft's OpenAI partnership might change video game RPGs forever. So Microsoft is expanding its partnership with OpenAI, an artificial intelligence research firm based in San Francisco. Microsoft now has an exclusive license to the GPT-3 language model. So the GPT-3 is currently the most advanced language model in the world, trained on an AI supercomputer powered by Azure. If you're wondering what Azure is, it's Microsoft's lucrative cloud computing wing. And Sony's actually also partnered with Microsoft to use that same technology. So this actually might help Sony too. Maybe. We'll see.
This isn't the first time that Microsoft has leveraged other technologies in their game development, because the same thing's being done with Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's using their world mapping technology through Bing. Bing Maps, even though Google Maps is, in my opinion, far more superior, or at least smartphone friendly. Microsoft is a leviathan of a company. Their tendrils are everywhere. It's very,
right,
very scary.
I know the next season of Westworld when I see it.
Hey, you'll be all right. Hey, I got my Microsoft account. I'll survive the purge. The neutron bomb they unleash.
The GPT-3 language model has over 175 billion parameters. This model possesses the ability to dish out text that is both contextually relevant and uncanny in its resemblance to human speech. So that will be interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, isn't like one of the main hurdles trying to make conversations in RPGs more organic, at least in terms of Western RPGs? Like, instead of like the same old strand, because Mass Effect did like that one sentence or one word selection, which is a more contextualized response. This seems way more advanced than that, of course.
Right. Well, bang, okay.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes, because I mean, I think this has a potential of making RPGs really interesting in the future, but it's that thing where, all right, well, we have this superpowered computer that's doing all this cool stuff. How do we take that and put it into our game engine?
This does seem like another side to the uncanny valley that we're all trying to get towards.
Because you have
the visual side of it, you know, like people are able to see physically. But will I understand if I'm not talking to a real person, even though these companies have done experiments in customer service to where you know, like, people wouldn't know that they're not talking to a real person.
Just give me my refund. That's all I care, okay? I don't care if it's real. All right. Number six. This comes from Bloomberg. Cyberpunk 2077 publisher orders six-day work week ahead of launch. So, yeah, Polish game developer CD Projekt Red told employees on Monday, some other Monday, I don't, you know, whatever, that six-day work weeks will be mandatory leading up to November's release of the highly anticipated Cyberpunk 2077.
That combat's not going to fix itself.
Yep. No, it's not. And the reason why this is an issue is because earlier this year, Cyberpunk actually promised that they wouldn't force overtime on the project. Mm-hmm. So
here's the psychology of the manager. I'm not a manager myself. I hope to be a manager one day, but here's the psychology of a manager in terms of what to expect out of your employees. You want them to enjoy their work. I can't imagine a world where someone can enjoy their work doing it 6 out of 7 days a week, completely neglecting their family, friends, other ways of achievement. But I think another part of the psychology with the gaming industry is that once this is done, then you can take a break. You know, then you can finally rest up forever how long you want to, because they're making buckets. You know, they're going to be making buckets with this game. It's going to be ridiculous the amount of money they're going to make off of this property. But at the same time, it's like, you can't recuperate human capital like that, because it's going to leave a bad taste in a programmer's mouth. You know, like, do I want to go through that shit again? You know, for the next DLCs, which they said they want to make sure is as substantive as the main story.
Yep.
Get out of here, man.
You are right. I mean, that is a thing that's married to game development, is you work up to this release date and then you could take like a week break after that. But then you have to go back and nail the bugs and nail the new content that you're working on. And it's that cycle. So for them to say that, yeah, we weren't going to do overtime. And it's just like, you're releasing one of the biggest games of the year, possibly generation, and you're not going to do overtime. Okay, we'll see how that goes.
Get back in those Polish salt mines. Get back in
there. All right. Speaking of going somewhere very bad, number seven. This comes from Kotaku. What the fuck? LA Comic Con is still going ahead. That's literally the article from Kotaku. So,
coronavirus,
everyone, get ready, because in December 2020, the organizers of the LA Comic Con wants to open the doors of Los Angeles Convention Center and allow thousands of people in for a nerd show of COVID.
So Comic-Con, so is this Comic-Con? Because I know San Diego Comic-Con, is that the same thing? Have they been moved to LA? Is it now LA Comic-Con?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
No, I think San Diego Comic-Con is still its own thing. Because
that's still the biggest, at least based on my interpretation, the biggest of the Comic-Cons. You have New York Comic-Con and LA. But, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so basically the organizer of this gave this giant blurb about how, you know, over the past 6 months, we've all been sheltered in place and X, Y, and Z, and how he wants to do this because he feels that, you know, people as a collective, especially gamers and nerds like us, yearn for just a little bit of normalcy. And it's just like,
Jesus Christ.
You obviously been living in your own little bubble and dealing with people who are not educated on what's going on right now.
Also, if there have been any group of people that have thrived in this period of time, it's been nerds. Yep. Like, nerds have had so much gaming and television streaming and otherwise to, like, look forward to during this pandemic. So, I don't know what he's talking about.
What cons have become, at least during their prominence in our, like, bringing nerd culture to the forefront, essentially, is a consorted effort to market and debut new products and properties together.
Right, right.
So everyone's focusing on this convention center, which, if you look at convention centers, are terrible for cities in terms of, like, economic development. They do not buy themselves back. But it brings together the whole community, whether it be for DC, whether it be for Marvel, whether it be for Star Wars, and talks about, like, here's what we're doing for the next fiscal year. Here's what the big property is coming out. What happened over the summer was DC Fandom. And DC Fandom was able to prove that you can do a lot of what is happening at a con online, right, and virtually, and still garner the same amount of attention. And also, a lot of people say, oh, cons are when vendors can, you know, debut products and stuff like that. Well, you still have Squarespace. You still have GoDaddy.com and all these other websites that you're able to solicit goods fairly, yes, easily, you know, fairly, yeah, efficiently. And the last tenet is like, oh, you don't get to meet the artist and stuff. Like, I mean, do you really want me to be disappointed by your heroes? I love. But also, like, what's that called? Cameo, the Cameo services.
They don't get, oh, yeah, right,
that. That's like super easy.
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, Instagram, no, Live. Or like,
cons are dead. Like, cons are dead. I'm sorry. Cons are dead.
Everything that they could have brought up has a counterpoint that has literally been solved by technology, mm-hmm, and adaptability in this pandemic. Yep. So, like, there's no good reason to have this con.
I'm going to miss, like, I think this is going to be one of the first years I was going to go to MagFest, go to DC Comic Con, go to Awesome Con, stuff like that. Like, of course, I'm going to miss the camaraderie associated with them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, let's wait until this gets better and then it can come back with full force. So I can't imagine going to a con and be on that layer of filth and stink,
bruh,
and body,
oh,
fluids.
Oh, my goodness.
And a circle
worrying
light
about
and
COVID.
And it's going to become a super spreader event. Just watch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And don't get us wrong. We understand the importance of cons. I mean, honestly, as a podcast, like, at some point when cons are back up and running safely, we're going to have to go to cons, mm-hmm, to kind of, you know, get to know the people and, like,
yeah,
spread our outreach. But
spread our germs.
Exactly. Yes. But, like, this is just flat out stupid.
Yeah, it is. It's dumb.
Like, it's just Florida stupid.
So my thing is, I wonder, I don't know where this guy leans, but I wonder if his mind's going to change now that Trump had COVID.
I mean, it's all up to the city administrators whether or not they're going to allow it to happen. I mean, if there is a resurgence, if there is a resurgence in Los Angeles County, like, California has very strict, and they do allow local municipalities to shut shit down at any time. Mm. Unlike, you know, Florida. Yeah. And also, fucking Dana White was trying to move MMA to, like, to an island. Now, I want to see that movie.
It's like Florida, like, if people in the houses, who's going to take care of these gators?
The gators do fight coronavirus. No. Gator meat. Give Donald Trump some gator meat.
Oh, no. But speaking of gator meat, that is it for quick hits.
Okay. And now it's time for the heavy hitters. Take it away, Jordan.
We were talking so much, I wasn't able to look at the times. No, yeah, no, Xbox super fast. Xbox is...
Xbox super fast. No. Next up.
Everyone was talking about the SSD and the benefits of it early in Sony's debut of the PS5, specifically Ratchet and Clank. They're talking about how SSDs are able to change video game architecture and transition between scenes, which looks great. But I don't know how structurally different Sony's SSD is compared to Microsoft's. But what happened this week was many content creators, many industry analysts were able to be given an Xbox Series X. Not fully unlocked, I believe. I think, like,
no, well, these are considered preview units.
So, yeah, like, there's probably, like, still some updates. My original Xbox One got an update, you know, like, UI update. Mm. But they were able to test specific games. Final Fantasy XV, Red Dead Redemption, games with a tremendous amount of content, and exploit their, mm-hmm, new system of you being able to jump between applications or have applications running in the background and not have to worry about them turning off.
Yeah.
As an Xbox owner and a PlayStation owner, Xbox's transition to applications is way more streamlined than Sony's. PS4, it just feels like it's more of a stutter. Like, you have to, and I totally understand and appreciate the ability to confirm whether or not you want to go to a different application with a yes or no. But at the same time, it's like, clearly Xbox has invested heavily in your ability to jump between applications to have a pretty clean and focused UI system, at least an operating system that allows you to run multiple applications at once. I mean, and we're talking lightning fast here. I think it was like 2 minutes to load for Red Dead Redemption, cut down to 30 seconds. Yeah. Like tremendous reductions in the amount of duration when loading up a game. And also they are commenting on how much of a visual improvement, like the enhancement of playing an Xbox One game onto a Series X. So clearly it's not just compatibility-wise. Like there is an upscaling of the visuals on these games that are still technically available on Xbox One, but that in the same way it allows for you to get the most out of your Series X or justify a Series X purchase if you have a 4K television that runs at 120 or 60 hertz refresh rate.
Right.
You know, my wallet spoke to me. I mean, I could have done the 4K 120 hertz, the Q80, but I did the Q70, which is 4K 60 hertz.
Yeah.
And I did my research just saying it's not terribly different in terms of your ability to see it. Like, as long as it runs in 4K, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like Xbox has been very loud this week. Xbox has released a tremendous amount of review embargo and also got many units out for people to give, like all the major publications have a unit and they're giving their take and they're thoroughly impressed by it.
Yeah, Xbox has done that thing where they've literally been first place in everything right now for this generation. Like, they've gotten their console out. People are playing the system, and we don't even know what games will and will not work in terms of moving your save progression on the PS5.
Yep.
And it's just like, we don't even know what the fucking UI looks like for the PS5.
Yep.
And it's just like, to compare this, it is so, so crazy. And for me, it's like, damn, Xbox is literally doing all the right things.
Because they were forced to because of how bad this generation was to them. And like, I'm not trying to say the Japanese companies looking at Microsoft, the American company, like the Japanese did in Pearl Harbor, like we've awakened a sleeping giant or something like that.
No, but the thing is, though, you know, when we look at these companies, we do look at it from the outside in. And, you know, Phil Spencer was a big shift for Xbox, and like he's really been the one.
Yeah, don't forget like, about the booty.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Booty came in. Booty came in smelling right. Booty came in tight.
But but like they have literally like put Xbox in the place where they are, and like when you look at PlayStation, and I did some cursory stuff because like I had an idea of like, oh yeah, it's a little different, but like the PlayStation that started PS4 is different from the PlayStation now, and you feel it, and it's just like this isn't good. Like,
well, like,
this is just not good. Like, I am not excited for the PS5 because they are still silent, and it's about what, two months and maybe a week or so until the console comes out.
Yeah, it's
a month and a week.
As a month, it is a month. Yeah, you're right, and it's just like, What the hell?
Go ahead. Well, and to touch on one last point. Sony's trying to build this narrative that backwards compatibility is not something that gamers want. They're trying to force that into the zeitgeist, and it's not working. Mm. Their language of we are a company of generations, it's like we are a company that, I'm not going to say imposes forced innovation on its customers, but our PS5 is over here. Your PS4 is over there. If you want to get the full benefit of PS5, please purchase it with all of its accessories and stuff.
Yeah.
We want you to be PS5 forever once you upgrade to it, which in a way kind of makes sense. But at the same time, you're still going to have gamers with that closet full of fucking electronics over and over again, stuck there, having to scrounge over. Like, if I want to play this PS4 game, I got to plug in my PS4 and I got to go through all this stuff. Xbox literally, hey, your Seagate, hook that bad boy in, you're fine.
Yep.
All your stuff is there and ready to go. And I am totally liberated from my Xbox One once my Series X come in. I give it to my dad. You know, he's all old and retired with nothing to do. Give him, you know, to play Soul Calibur, Crazy Taxi, whatever the fuck he wants to play to keep him, you know, sedated while at home. But that is, for me, a golden egg in terms of a feature.
Yeah.
Like, that is just huge for me. All my stuff is still there. All that work, all the purchases from the original Xbox 360, Xbox One is just there and ready to go.
Xbox is, or Microsoft has done a fantastic job of making sure that it's a lateral move into the next generation. And that's impressive. And I mean, to speak on what I'm going to be speaking on, DJ already touched on an element of it with, you know, this is all coming from IGN.
Oh, wait, wait.
Except for one thing.
Before you jump to that, I just want to say that, because I actually looked it up, the Xbox Quick Resume feature that's going to be on Series X allows for you to cache 12 games. So you can jump between 12 games. That's ridiculous. Continue,
I thought it was just five.
That's,
nah, I just looked it up because I just wasn't sure.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah. That's absolutely insane. But yeah, basically, this is all coming from IGN. There is confirmation that your PS4 saves for Yakuza Like a Dragon won't transfer to PlayStation 5, which led to a rumor that your PS4 saves may not work on all upgraded PS5 games. And
it's a lot of work. Why are you telling me to fuck off?
The craziness to that is that people made Spider-Man, Sucker Punch? No. Insomniac. They confirmed that in order for your PS4 save to carry over to your PS5, you have to essentially purchase, or you have to use a title free next gen upgrade. So it's possible for the save file to transition from PS4 to PS5, but you just have to do it in a upgrade. So, see, I don't know. See, even this is confusing because it's like, well, if I get the PS version of Miles Morales, then I have to spend the $10 to do the upgrade to PS5. And I think in that upgrade, you can upgrade your save file, I guess, into your PS5 save file.
Yeah, man. Sony is thinking harder, not smarter, dude. Yeah. Like, they are making everything way more complex than it needs to be.
You know what it might be? It's that cell processor, whatever the fuck they have on the PlayStations. Remember that? What's it called? The cell something?
The cell processor. That was PS3.
Well,
that was PS3. And
it was PS3, but why are we hearing about it now with PlayStation 5? Remember Bloomberg had the same story that Sony was like, no, it wasn't real. People still kind of think it was with the cell units that they were making for it, the disruption and production for those. That was cell related.
Okay, so the PS3 had the cell processor, and then when they went to the PS4, they said that they're going to do the x86 chipset because that's a more commonplace chipset, and it will allow developers to have an easier time developing their games, which was true, and both Microsoft and PlayStation was using that same chipset. So that was fine, but now that we have the PS5, it's becoming an issue where I'm guessing building your game for the SSD is now the issue. And it seems like that is what's the stumbling block for a lot of people. And then there's also rumors that it's possible that PlayStation didn't get the save file feature out to the developers in time. So now this is why you have this like weird messaging behind some games being able to transfer saves and some games not being able to do it. And it's just like, what the fuck, man?
It's a lot of scrambling.
Yeah.
It's a lot of scrambling. Yeah. And then the other thing that's going to be coming from IGN is that PS5 has revealed some pre-order details for three launch games, or the bonuses that are going to come with those. And those three games are Sackboy, A Big Adventure, Spider-Man Miles Morales, and Demon's Souls. So
we really only care about Spider-Man.
I know, but
and Sackboy, Sackboy is gonna be great. What the fuck are you talking about?
You don't get Sackboy. You better shut. I was like, no.
I'm gonna run down the list really quickly. Yeah. For Sackboy, you get a digital art book showcasing the world of Sackboy. You get a digital soundtrack. You get four Sackboy costumes from different PlayStation games. So
amazing.
Jin from Ghost of Tsushima. You get Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding, Connor from Detroit Become Human, and of all people, Deacon St. James from Days Gone.
Sony Kratos tries. Is missing
okay.
from this list, Sony, and I Sony don't know
tries.
Why.
Right.
Sony tries.
Right. Kratos isn't... Anyway, and you get four Sackboy emotes based on previously mentioned characters, so I'm imagining that the Deacon... emote is screaming at nothing. and you get 20 Sackboy avatars.
This is so weird.
Now, for Spider-Man Miles Morales, and this is for the standard or the ultimate edition, you get a tracksuit DLC skin, which was designed by Javier Garon. I think that's how you say it. The artist of Miles Morales' Spider-Man comic series. You get a second Spidey suit, which is an unannounced mystery DLC suit. Gravity Well gadget. You get the early unlock for the Gravity Well gadget that pulls enemies together and knocks them down, disarming them.
Wonderful.
And you get extra skill points so that you can use them as bonus points toward powers during the game. And last, for Demon Souls, the Digital Deluxe Edition. Demon Souls is unique in that its Digital Deluxe Edition comes with new armor and weapons that weren't in the original PlayStation 3 version of the game. So if you pre-order any version of Demon Souls, you'll have access to the Reaper Scythe weapon, as well as a bunch of...
There's like a list of like 15 different things, yo.
So all of this matters if you're one of the lucky three that get their hands on a PS5 console.
Right.
All right.
I didn't know anything about the things that they were listing off, but just you have access to...
It's all this shit to put in your living room
Demon
floor.
Souls stuff.
One of the armor set is the Red Eye Knight armor. You can only imagine what that is.
Amazing.
Blue Eyes White Drake.
Amazing.
It's the Clear Eyes guy. That's all it
is. It's all topped off with your complimenting fedora. So you can go, hello, nice. My lady.
I'll bet.
And some conditioner for your neck beard.
Oof. Can you imagine that? Oh, man. 4K? Oh, my God. Beautiful.
Big shots. And the last thing, and this comes from Games Radar. If this leak is to be, believed, the PS5 offers 664 gigabytes of usable storage space.
Xbox,
a new leak hints...
Xbox is 802.
Yeah.
A new leak hints that the 825 gigabyte PlayStation 5 will offer 664 gigabytes of usable storage space. Now, the leak popped up on Reset Era, so take it as a grain of salt, but if it ends up being true, that ain't good.
So this is weird. I'll make this really quick. So this is weird because generally when you get storage, it's a round number. So when, like, for example, the Xbox, you get 1 terabyte, right? Mm-hmm. And the 800 or whatever that you get from that is because 200 gigabytes of that storage is taken up by the OS. Whereas when Sony said that you get an 825 gigabyte storage space or SSD storage space, like, that's
it might
weird.
Be it's still the same mathematics. I mean, it's still going to go into the operating system.
It might just be a 1 terabyte drive where you only get the 825. Like, they were just giving you the flat number of how much space you get.
I sure as hell hope
but
so.
But if this is true and you get 664 gigabytes of space, that's 3 fucking Call of Duties.
Yep.
That's it.
Hmm. I mean, like, especially if I'm having Call of Duty Warzone and Call of Duty Cold War on the same console. God knows how to know. I mean, they're going to have a Warzone for... Treyarch's going to have their own Warzone for Cold War.
Call of Duty be looking at your console like, this is free real estate.
Right. This is mine. That's mine. Over there, that's mine.
MySpace.
You eat a hot dog? That shit's mine, too.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
I hope it ain't true, but if it is true, then that's just another knock on the next generation of Sony, because...
It just feels like Sony has been knocking back the tequilas and vodkas hard this console generation. I mean, necessarily so, you have nothing to worry about, but next we got to go back to work, Sony, and they're stumbling into the office, tripping over desks, you know, trying to hide their drunkenness, put them with sunglasses on, you know, staring at their computer with their hands at their side. Yeah.
Let it be known.
Everyone notices it, Sony. Everyone can see you stink.
Let it be known. Season 4, episode 38, I am making this official. Sony is giving off big PS3 vibes. Big PS3 vibes. I've said it in the chat a bunch of times, and I'm making it known. So come next year, and we're like, Oh, wait, this actually does use a cell processor? What the fuck, Sony?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the title of this episode. And with that, DJ, take us
home. This has been another episode of the award-winning Press X Start podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. And in case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on... what is it? Shit. What is that? What is that site? What is that site? Go vote. Go vote. That's the site. Go vote.
Yes, go
Everyone
vote.
Just go vote.
Go vote.
And with
go
that, vote. Go vote. Get that fucker out of office.
Uno out.